are absolutely right. There are some people who are actually afraid to stay here with us. That's true. Yeah, you've heard those stories? Yeah, well, you know why, don't you? Because we live in an ex-funeral home. That's why Clyde was able to buy these three houses so inexpensively, because nobody wants to buy an ex-funeral home. And Cindy has an Avon business, as I may have told you, and there's people come in, they just barely peek their head in the door, and they say, they actually get chills down their back, and they say, hey, have you ever seen anything? Have you heard funny noises? Do things fly through the air? So people are so superstitious, we just laugh. I never think of it anymore as an ex-funeral home. And people do come in and they look at the ornate swirl on the ceilings and they look at the lamps and they go, wow, this is really fancy stuff. Yeah, it used to be a funeral home. I guess they were a little scared. The boys were when they first moved in here. I hope I'm not telling too much information here. Nathan has his habit of screaming in his sleep. And when they first moved in here, long before I got here, and they didn't have any real bedrooms set up, they were all camping on the floor of the funeral home in the dark, and Nathan woke up in the middle of a dead sleep and just started screaming, and then everybody else started screaming. I believe there was bedwetting involved, and it was just a horrible fright, but that wears off quickly. Even though if you came here, I could take you to the embalming room, because I know where it is. It's in the basement. I walk past it every day. It's no big deal. I think it's such a great irony that such life is coming from this place where there used to be nothing but death. If I introduce myself, hi, this is Martin Zender, and we are in the book of Hebrews. Oh, yeah, speaking of that, at breakfast this morning, we had this brainstorm of an idea, speaking of funeral homes. Somebody said that, you know, one of the guaranteed businesses you can get into is the funeral business. But I'm thinking, who in the world gets into the funeral business for anything other than money? I mean, it's a guaranteed income. People keep dying. Eon 3 is a great eon for to be a funeral director. You would not want to be a funeral director in Eon 5. You'd be like the Maytag repairman in this eon. You know, he has no business at all, but the undertaker will have no business in Eon 5 because death will be relegated to the lake of fire and the second death at that time. But so I can't imagine a kid grows up saying, I want to be a funeral director. What do you want to be when you grow up? All the kids want to be football players, you know, movie stars, firemen, doctors. Nobody wants to be a funeral director. You only get in for the money. But we thought of a great three businesses, the trifecta, if you will. If you owned a restaurant, a hospital, and a funeral home, you'd have it made. You poison people with your rotten food, you attempt to take care of them at your hospital, and then you eventually bury them at the funeral home. It's the trifecta. How can you lose? You'd be rich in this eon. Don't ask me how to be rich in this eon. I have not figured it out. Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 10, and I believe, this is hard to keep remembering this, but I believe we left off in verse 11, and if we didn't, I want to bring something up to you in verse 14 that's very important. I hope to make 2 points. I might only make one because I talked too long about funeral homes, but let's start in here. And every chief priest indeed stands ministering day by day and offering often the same sacrifices, which never can take sins from about us. Just remember, I think we read that verse on Friday. Yet this one, when offering one sacrifice for sins, is seated to a finality at the right hand of God, waiting furthermore till his enemies may be placed as a footstool for his feet. I want to comment on that, but let's finish the verse out. For by one approach present, he has perfected to a finality those who are hallowed. All right, he's going to make his enemies place them as a footstool for his feet. And when people hear this, they think, good, serves him right. And when you think of being at the Lord's feet, you think he's going to crush you. And he's just going to grind his feet and break your necks. But being at the Lord's feet is a very good place to be. I'm going to turn now to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. For he must be reigning until he should be placing all his enemies under his feet. There it is again. The last enemy is being abolished, death. He's going to be placing all his enemies under his feet. Now let me ask you this. Where was a great place of blessing in the scriptures while Jesus was on the earth? Where was the prostitute when she broke the perfume and wiped his feet with her hair? I just gave you the answer. At his feet. At his feet. Where was Jesus on the night of the Last Supper? He's washing the disciples' feet Paul says concerning the body of Christ that we take those places, those parts of the body that we would deem inferior, and we give them a place of greater honor. So to be at the Lord's feet is a great honor. Now, as the body of Christ consists of a bunch of different body parts, if you will. I don't mean to get anatomical here, but this is the analogy Paul gives us of the body of Christ. There's the head, the eyes, the mouth, the spokes part of the body of Christ, and everybody, we're all going to have our own part. And I've heard people say, I'm just going to be a big toe. I'm going to be armpit or whatever. Or, well, that's fine. Believe me, you're better off being an armpit of the body of Christ than to be in some other position. Just to be in the body of Christ, you've won the lottery. So if you're the big toe or an armpit, congratulations. But my point here is that being at the Lord's feet, not everybody, speaking of all those who are going to be saved, not everybody is a member of the body of Christ. Not even those parts that we would deem inferior. But to be at the Lord's feet, when you're at the Lord's feet, just think of all the times people were at his feet when he was on earth. It's a place, it's a good place to be. And when people are broken, they're broken at his feet. And it's such a wonderful thing to be broken by the Lord, because God kills, but he also makes alive again. And that's what we're looking at the Lord's feet. And these, think of these proud Pharisees. I can't wait for this day. These Pharisees who are so proud, and they would never humble themselves to wash anybody's feet. They expected to be the ones waited on. And Jesus set the perfect example. He's the one that should have been waited on. Even Peter said that. Lord, no, you shouldn't wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. You should wash my whole body. He goes, no, we only need to wash the feet. The feet are emphasized, and there's a reason for it. It's a place of humility. It is a place of brokenness, as we saw with the prostitute who came and poured the perfume and anointed him. And Jesus said, if the feet are clean, the whole body's clean. Isn't that interesting? That tells me, that suggests to me, that humility is cleansing. Humility is the beginning of being a whole person. It's the beginning of being able to relax in this life and not be the chief seat in the synagogue. All these priests wanted to be, have the chief place in the synagogue. You realize what, how stressful that would be? Ask any movie star, ask an A-lister in the movies, or ask the number one seed in tennis or golf. Everybody is gunning for you. It's pressure filled. And everybody wants your title. Everybody wants your place. If you're a top of a company, you have to constantly be innovating, constantly be thinking of something new, constantly be remaking yourself to stay king of the hill. And I've heard stories of CEOs and these people in great positions of power, wealth, influence, presidents or what have you. They can't wait. Many of the presidents will say they can't wait to be unpresident. George Washington, they had to force him to become the president. And then these men happily retired to live a life of humility and anonymity. There's a blessed thing to be at. It's a blessed thing to be at the Lord's feet. So his enemies, when they're at his feet, they're called enemies here, but I think this is a figure of speech called retention, where those who were formerly his enemies will be at his feet. So picture the Pharisees of Jesus' day. This is really hard to do, I know. Imagine the Pharisees who are so proud at Jesus' feet, maybe even kissing his feet, weeping at his feet. Jesus is going to look down on them with compassion. But people hear this, and they assume he's going to be grinding his heel into their head, breaking their skulls, like the Nazis used to do, you know? They stomp on you. Those guys, you wouldn't want to be at the feet of Heinrich Himmler. But Jesus, Christ, the Savior of the world, I think that's a good place to be. And so he's going to subject all under his feet, subject them. And, well, it's terrible, Martin, you're going to be subjected. Who wants to be subjected? Folks, Jesus Christ himself is going to subject himself to God, verse 28, that God may be all in all. Even our Lord Jesus Christ realizes the blessed place of subjection. And I think he might breathe a sigh of relief. When the eons come to a completion, he's going to, oh, I finally brought the universe back, and he's going to place it at the feet of his Father. And maybe let's give him an eon in a hammock or something. He deserves it. Let's all give Jesus Christ some time in the hammock after he subjects everything, some time to relax. I've actually thought that before. I've said to God, you know, maybe for the first few months of my celestial tenancy, can we take a little vacation? How about a little time off? I know I'm going to be reconciling the universe to you, and to me it sounds like a lot of work, because I'm trying to just, you know, teach a handful of people here on this planet, and all this is training for a bigger job, and it's like, can we just take maybe a month off? Okay, maybe a year. But I think that resting in Him and giving up the need to be the top dog, the king of the hill, is a blessed thing. And again, it's the, I think it was Solomon who said, it's a chasing after wind to be on top. And when I read these two passages in Hebrews chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians 15, being at the Lord's feet, I will exhort you to believe that it is a blessed place. All right, I wanted to get to the assembling of yourselves together. That's the huge verse that's always misinterpreted and dropped on your head like an anvil to try to guilt you into going to church in Hebrews 10:25. I'm going to get to that tomorrow, but I got 1 minute here. I'm going to try to read to that verse. We're in Hebrews, where are we now? We're in Hebrews 10:11, and I'm going to read through to 10:25. Okay, here we go. Starting with verse 15. Now the Holy Spirit also is testifying to us, for after having declared, this is the covenant which I shall be covenanting with them after those days, the Lord is saying, imparting my laws to their hearts, I shall be inscribing them on their comprehension also, and of their sins and their lawlessnesses shall I under no circumstances still be reminded. Now where there is a pardon of these, there is no longer an approach present concerned with sin. Verse 19, having then, brethren, boldness for the entrance of the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a recently slain and living way, which he dedicates for us through the curtain that is his flesh, and a great priest over the house of God, we may be approaching with a true heart in the assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience and a body bathed in clean water. And starting with, I'm going to explain those verses to you tomorrow, and then we're going to jump right into verse 23. And verse 25, we're going to get to that very tricky passage, the assembling of yourselves together. I'm going to give you peace concerning this. I'm not going to let anybody drop any more anvils on your head or guilt you of why you're not going to church. This has been Martin Zenner. Thanks for being with me, and be with you here tomorrow.